This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by you. That's right, you. All of your Patreon donations, PayPal donations, five-star reviews on Apple and Stitcher, shout-outs on social media, articles you've written, mentions to your friends, IHU merchandise purchases, all make this show possible week in and week out. Thanks, homies. Inner Ho Uprising. Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist ho who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she and her.
And Akua, pronouns she and her, one sexually fluid, demisexual, mental health professional who will die in the apocalypse.
What the fuck? I was like, wow, Akua is really on it. Everything is so chipper and like beat for beat. And then you were just like, we'll die. And I was like, damn, nigga.
But won't we all?
When you finally come to terms with your mortality, everything's a lot easier, actually. Mm-hmm. For the new year, we're switching things up. Many of you do not like the interview episodes as much as you like the group episodes. So for the top of the new year, we're hitting you with all group and all duo episodes. For new listeners, that means myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts will be talking about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours, and occasionally we'll be hitting you with interview episodes with insightful folks. This episode, we'll be talking about how our personal politics show up in dating, a cute date twofer that includes Bad Boys 3, dealing with failing friendships after becoming a parent, and a reminder to be gentle with yourself.
If you guys would like to follow along with the conversation had on this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag Podin so other people can see it.
And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to. So to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. I was about to say dot kickity com, but I didn't want anybody to actually write that in because that's not an email address.
That's not an email address.
Ho of the week. Our hoes of the week this week are Emeka. I would like to host sex trivia in other places, and I would like to get flued out to do it. And Emeka was like, come to Atlanta. And I was like, sure, where should we go in Atlanta? And Emeka gave us a list of motherfucking places in Atlanta that we can host sex trivia at.
Emeka.
Which will be beneficial in the future. Thank you, Emeka. And shout out to Danielle E., who gave us their feedback from season 5. And we love to hear you guys' feedback because it helps us shape the show in the future.
Tell us what you like.
Thank you to those two people. Now let's go on to self-care tip of the week.
So self-care tip of the week, I got in my bag for this one, but not in my
research bag.
Yes, not my research bag. But this week was like really trying for me. Like just it was the peak of depression, anxiety, and just overall job burnout. And I just was not doing it. And then when I was thinking of a self-care, I was like, what did I do this week to take care of myself? Mm-hmm. And the remaining thread really was be gentle with yourself. Mm-hmm. Talk nicely to yourself. Mm-hmm. Be patient with yourself. Mm-hmm. Give yourself time. Whatever that looks like to you, binge watch Netflix, masturbate.
That's why you watched all two seasons
of You. Take a nap for 2 days straight and forget everything you have to do. Remember that capitalism, patriarchy, misogyny, misogynoir, sexism, ableism rides us to the bone. Mm-hmm. And that so many people in our lives in this world have been indoctrinated in those things. Mm-hmm. So they too ride us and abuse us. Mm. And we have been indoctrinated in those things and we ride ourselves and we abuse ourselves. And we have to take a step back.
That's a fact.
Because no one else is going to prioritize taking care of you but you first. Mm-hmm. Other people may care. They want to help. Mm-hmm. But they for their main thought is their survival, their preservation.
Yes.
So your main thought has to be your survival and your preservation. Mm-hmm. Be kind to yourself.
That's a fact.
There is time. You won't get everything done today. Or next week, or this year, or the next decade, but there is time.
There's also something to the fact, I think I saw this on Twitter, where it was like, you might not ever get everything done, but that's like, okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, there's like no actual rules to this whole life thing.
There's none.
We're just floating around. I mean, I could get into that forever, but like, we're just floating around, man. Just do whatever makes you happy.
Be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
And that is the self-care tip, that reminder.
Thank you, Akua.
To welcome.
We hope you guys be kind to yourself after that. If your back hurts, get up and stretch.
Yes.
Pee when you need to. Drink water.
Pop a Tylenol before sex.
Yes.
All of these things.
Yes. Prioritize your...
Drink some water.
Yes. Now we are going to get into our first big segment, and that segment is called
Fuck That. Fuck it. Fuck
yes. Fuck it all. Fuck it all. And today I wanted to spend some time talking about how personal politics play into our dating, like the way that we navigate dating. So I saw a couple of articles that like were kind of getting around this. And I also like in my own, because, you know, a bitch is quote unquote getting back out there. I've noticed how I navigate certain things. Like when somebody says something, I'm just like, oh no, nobody, we are not continuing this. And then sometimes it'll just be like, oh, that's pretty bad, but I really want to have sex with you. So
I have to charge on.
I have to trudge on. But don't say that anymore. Not to me. That's what we'll be talking about today. So I'm going to go through a couple of articles and then I want to get your feedback, Akua, on how you feel about these things. And I'll give my feedback. And then ultimately, I want everybody listening to write in and tell me like how they're navigating all of this.
Mm-hmm.
First story. This was found in a news website called Inside Hook. And it's an article written by Kayla Kibbe. So the name of the article was OkCupid Lets Users Filter Out Climate Change Deniers. A couple of fast facts about this. Users now have the ability to filter out climate change deniers. So, you know, have you ever used OkCupid?
I have been on it, saw the things, and exited.
What the fuck did you see? Are you okay?
There was just so many options for so many of your identities and viewpoints that I got overwhelmed.
They asked the fuck out of you. Like, shit that you didn't even want to admit to yourself yet. Like, damn, I guess I do believe the earth is flat.
And now they're throwing in climate change.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. So, yes, that is how OkCupid works. They ask you a bunch of questions about how you feel about everything. And that leads to their algorithm making certain decisions on who they, like, bring up to you and mm-hmm. who they don't. So now one of those things is like whether or not you believe climate change is real. Interesting thing about this, they're scanning the fuck out of your data as all these apps are, and they've seen a 240% increase, I don't know, over the course of like the past year or the past couple of years. So that's kind of weird, right? But a 240% increase in environmental mentions in user profiles, including terms like climate change, environment, global warming, Greta Thunberg, and recycle. I think it's interesting that people are just putting Greta Thunberg in their profile.
That's the little white girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. Y'all adults.
What are you saying about her? Like she's your hero or something like that? I don't know. Whatever. Maybe they're like, we stan Greta Thunberg.
probably.
Yeah.
And that I understand.
Yeah, yeah. Greta Thunberg's biggest stan. LOL, LOL. This was interesting to me. 97% of OkCupid users think climate change is real. So like, yeah, sure. Great. I'm happy to hear that. But what was the point of this whole thing?
Yeah. To filter out the 3%?
Yeah.
Which like, I feel like I could do.
Yeah. With like a conversation.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was weird. And then I was thinking, what else can you filter out in regards to politics and what can't you filter out?
Mm-hmm.
So I did a quick Google because I haven't used OKC in like 4 years or 5 years or something like that. So I was just like, what can you filter out on OkCupid? And the only thing that came up in Google for like 3 pages was the fact that they used to have and I don't know if they still have it, but a body size filter that allowed you to filter out plus size people and maybe people of other body sizes. I'm not sure. I didn't like go into it that much. And I was like, okay, that's kind of disturbing. But it was in 2013 and there was a lot of backlash on it. So I'm assuming it's not there anymore. But let me know if I'm wrong, if you're listening.
I was on OKC and like, let's say 3 years ago. And I don't remember seeing that. So
okay. So I guess they were like, that was a bad idea. But like, I would prefer if I was not matched with like a transphobe. And I know way more people are transphobic than don't believe climate change. Like, I know that number is not 97% in the same way that this number is 97%. So I thought that was interesting. Second story. Gen Z is on Tinder, quote unquote, looking for someone to match with and to march with.
We are looking for rally bays.
No, Akua, it's not we. It's no? them.
Oh, that. Oh, yes, them.
This is Gen Z. We are millennials. One. Yes, we are millennials. This story was also written by Kayla Kibbe, and it says that Tinder, which is actually under the same umbrella company as OkCupid, and it's also under the same umbrella company as Hinge, mm-hmm. which is just like, okay, there's just a big conglomerate of these dating apps. Like, what is going on? This? Yeah, what are you guys trying to do here? But they report that terms like climate change, social justice, and the environment were particularly popular among Gen Z swipers in the company's 2019 year in review report. The same report reveals that millennials really just want to travel.
Yeah, now that is true.
When I read that, I was like, damn, read me for filth.
Just trying to leave and explore things. Yes. And vagabonds. That is our generation, the vagabond generation.
Niggas just want to be out, son. And like, I definitely have that in my profile. I'm only using one app right now, but I have that in my profile now. And I've had that in previous profiles in the past. And I think since I have my age range also mm-hmm. like tailored to other millennials, mm-hmm. that is all these motherfuckers talk about as well. It's that and just like, wow, the last season of Game of Thrones really sucks. That is all niggas.
That's all we got.
These younger kids are like trying to change the world with their fucking hookup buddies, and we're just like, nah, we just want to be out.
We gave up. It's really what happened.
It's been a hard 27 years. It's been a rough time.
Like, we're just trying to see what is left, live our best lives, and that's it. We tired.
Oh, man. But I thought that was interesting because, like, we could also talk about this after the next story, but Tinder, in my opinion, and it seems like they're trying to like rebrand now to like fit this because Gen Z is their biggest
demographic.
Biggest user demographic. So it seems like they're trying to like match what people are bringing to it, which makes sense. Like mm-hmm. you want to give people what they want. But to me, Tinder was always like a hookup app.
Yeah.
And so, sure, I don't want to fucking like date a fucking like Trump supporter or anything mm-hmm. like that. But also, like, honestly, if you don't believe in climate change and I'm just trying to like go out and have a good time,
I'm just trying to get this nut.
Yeah. Even if it's not get this nut, like if we're just doing something fun and mm-hmm. we're not talking about that, is that so bad?
Yeah. Like, I never saw Tinder.
Like, I'm not trying to marry you.
As a conversational, let's date and get to know each other kind of app. It seems.
And
like,
definitely not a like match and march.
Yeah.
We marching together?
We marching together.
I don't even know you like that. Marching is a very intimate thing to do. We could get arrested together. I don't want to do that with you. What the fuck? So then, and it was just so weird that I saw all of these things in the same week. I was like, okay, there's something to this like politics and dating app thing. The New York Times recently like published a survey that they're trying to do where they're trying to get people to respond to their survey. So they're asking, if you're on apps, we would like to hear how you convey where you fall on the political spectrum and what signs, positive and negative, you look for when interpreting others' profiles. And if you're rolling your eyes at all of this, we also want to hear that. Tell us if and why you think politics should have nothing to do with dating. So then they have a little form. And I have a screenshot of the form. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask you the questions. And you're going to answer. And I'm going to answer. And you guys are going to answer at home. And I'll leave the survey in the description of this episode if you want to actually give your answers to the New York Times, which I did because everybody needs to know my opinions on everything.
All time.
Okay, so the first question is, do you screen potential dates or partners for their political beliefs? If so, how?
Do I screen? Yes. How? Very direct questions. Mm-hmm. Like, are you transphobic?
Damn, really?
Because it got to a point where when I wasn't, you just run across people mm-hmm. who were. And it was like, that's a hard stop. Like,
Yeah.
You know, that's a hard stop. So it's like, are you transphobic? Are you homophobic? Are you a Trump supporter? Mm-hmm. Are you a Republican? To be quite honest, only Democrats and nonpartisans over here. And then even them. But because politics, but definitely not like the first question. Like, you DM me, hey, and I'm like,
are you a Republican? Yes or no? answer.
That's definitely a first date question. Like, yeah, we sitting down, I'm gonna ask these questions.
Okay. tell me about some responses that you've gotten, actually. Like, when you say, are you transphobic? Do these niggas just say yes?
No, they don't say yes, but they go
because they don't think that they're fucking transphobic.
They'll go into a long-winded response that at the end says, yes, I'm transphobic.
Right.
And you're just like, all right, I see it.
Yes. Okay. Okay, here's how I do it. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do it. I'm trying to, like, come up with my why behind why I do it. Also, because I don't know, it's just like kind of like an unfinished thought that's been swirling around in my head lately. And it's kind of inspired by something that Jade was talking about on Queen with T and J.
Welcome to the club.
With T with Queen and mm-hmm. J. Where I think somebody who married a white man, unfortunately, mm-hmm. had like, sorry to that woman.
Sorry to that.
Sorry, sis. It's really not no judgment. But yeah, she wrote in and she was like, I guess they weren't like matching on mm-hmm. their politics or whatever. And Jay said something along the lines of like, you were like, it's so rare for you to match. Mm-hmm. And like, if you're like a non-monogamous person, like Jay was talking about, like, she wants to like do non-monogamous things.
But only meet one person.
She's with her partner right now and that's it, because mm-hmm. he's the only one who like fits all of these things. So like sometimes I feel hypocritical because I'm like, no, that is a fucking hard no. But like that, I'm just like, all right, just like don't talk to me about that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
I feel like a lot of it can be informed by your intentions with that person.
Yes.
Like if I'm just here for this, mm-hmm. then as long as you don't speak it around me, I'm not, you know, I can get through it to get to this. Mm-hmm. But if it's someone you're interested in, you're just like, oh, well, dang, I can't continue because I'm going to want to talk to you. You're going to say this silly things, these, you know, oppressive things, and I'm going to lose my shit.
Yeah. I think it's like, all right, here's something. Like, I'm not a religious person or whatever, and mm-hmm. some people are. And I'm not like, I'm not going to be friends with no religious people because they're not like indoctrinating me mm-hmm. with their religiosity. So this is just so fucked up. But like, if you believe that like capitalism is the way mm-hmm. and you're not talking to me about it, you're over there and I'm over here. Mm-hmm. But together we are on this date and we are picking these motherfucking apples together and mm-hmm. we're having a good time. That's how I think I feel about it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's not fleshed out. It's not a fleshed out thought. Do I screen potential dates and partners for political beliefs? Partners, definitely yes, but I'm not looking for a partner. So it's just potential dates right now. If so, how? One of my tricks that I do is just like, do you follow current events? Mm-hmm. Which also is like something because I just want somebody to be aware. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want fucking somebody with their eyes closed all the time because that's just like, what are we going to talk about, nigga? What are we going to talk about? So I say, do you follow, like, are you abreast of current events? Are you abreast of the news? Most people say, yeah, but I try to ignore it or whatever. But like, we all try to ignore it because it's mm-hmm. difficult to think about, but you actually do know what's going on. Like, mm-hmm. just because you're not watching CNN 24/7 doesn't mean
you're not aware.
Yeah, so people don't think that they're aware, but they are aware. And then I say, like, what's something in the news that's gotten your attention as of late? And they'll say something, and then from there I'm just like, what are your thoughts about that? And then it leads into however they feel about these particular things.
Oh, I gotta steal that, Samantha.
Please do, because it works. Sometimes you're just like, okay, this nigga is a Republican, and he doesn't actually know that he's a Republican. I think that's, like, the only thing that I do, but I think something that's changed with me in the past is like sometimes when like you see like a little nugget where it could be like this might go into anti-black territory. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's one. So, and this is all politics to me. It's not just like Democrat, Republican, 2020 election. It's
all
like
of these are
body image, gender, race, sexuality, all of these things. So I was talking to somebody, I think we were both talking about working out. I think I was like finishing up work and I was like, oh, I'm about to go work out or whatever. And he was like, yeah, I'm about to do that too or whatever. And then he like started talking about his body mm-hmm. and said that he was like formerly plus size or big. And then he said something that just like felt a little bit off. And I mm-hmm. think in the past I would just be like, I'm not going to go there mm-hmm. because I feel like I know what path that's going down and I don't want to unpack mm-hmm. that or explore that. But I was just like, what do you mean by that? So like really like exploring little nuggets where mm-hmm. it's like, what the fuck are you actually talking about? Like, let's go behind that. And then yeah, he was just like, I don't think people should be fat. And I was like, oh no. Okay. I really wanted to go out with you. And now we can't. Now we can't. How do you signal your own values and political beliefs on your dating profile? Are you intentionally leaving off any beliefs? If so, which ones and why?
I don't think I've put beliefs in my dating profile.
Mm-hmm. Why not? If any reason.
I feel like niggas don't read. So I have.
That's mad funny.
And I feel like they don't read it. So it just... It got to a point where it's like, all right, this will be explored if we get past just swiping and texting on this app.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you will eventually get to see those things as you converse with me and get to know me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, that's valid. I used to put specifically like interests. I would put Black feminism because mm-hmm. that is legitimately one of my interests. Either Black feminism or queer Black feminism. Niggas don't read. So many people did not care or see that. I also used to put something along the lines of, like, I would put my likes and dislikes, mm-hmm. and it would be like fun and also like serious. So I'd be like, dislikes like bad memes but also bigotry.
Yes. Yes.
With the Black feminism thing, yeah, I don't think anybody ever responded to it.
Or they just still come with their bull.
They do still come with their bullshit. I had a conversation with somebody. I think this was because of the Black feminism thing. Because I think I met this person on the app Black. I don't use it anymore because it was just a horrible app. But and the app that I use now doesn't allow for that kind of just my likes, dislikes. So I don't have that in my bio anymore. But I believe I had Black feminism. And we got to a point and things were going like, okay. And he sent me a picture and he looked like mad dusty. And I'm like, this was already a bad fucking idea. But sure, we're here now. And he's like, so what kind of feminist are you? And that already is a red flag. Because what are you asking me? Why are you asking me that? I just know it's going to be wrong. Mm-hmm. But at that time I was going through another phase of like, let me try to put myself out there. So I'm like, instead of just like blocking this person, mm-hmm. let me explore what he means by that. And then he was like, if I put my hand on you, are you gonna me too me? And I'm like, yeah, I am that kind of feminist. Goodbye. Am I intentionally leaving off any beliefs? Not intentionally, but I can't say the full thing.
Yeah, they don't give us enough space exactly, to just be giving like, my whole exactly, spiel.
Exactly. No homophobia, no transphobia, no ableism, anti-patriarchy, anti-white supremacy. And then it's just like, okay, like, why do I have to, like, I am greatly, like, steadfast in those beliefs, and that is the way that I believe the world should work, but why do I have to always define myself based off of fucking oppression?
Because mm-hmm.
that doesn't say anything about, like, me. Who I actually mm-hmm. am as a person. And then also, I think that creates a... Not saying this is a bad thing, but it's just not something that I want. It creates a bond solely on oppression, yes. where it's just, like, you're together in your beliefs about anti-oppression, and then you're sitting in a room just like...
But we've, you know, come together to break yeah. down the patriarchy.
Yeah, we're fucking matching and marching, nigga.
Yeah, that's it.
If I wanted to do that, I would like go to my local rally and hang out with those niggas yeah. for that purpose. But I'm trying to like go on a date and fuck you. Like, we do not have to march.
Not today.
Not today. Marching in the streets and down the aisle. Like, it doesn't sound fun. It does not sound fun. Yeah. Okay, here's the next question. Are there lines you won't cross when it comes to dating someone who disagrees with you on a politically charged topic, such as abortion, vaccinations, gun control, climate change, immigration, or President Trump?
What do you mean by are there lines I won't cross? Like, will I like let it fester or let it go?
I think it's just like, will you not date this person? Like, this is just a hypothetical, but let's say somebody doesn't believe in climate change and you will date them, but they did vote for Trump and you won't. The Trump is a line you won't cross.
Okay. Trump is a line I won't cross. Immigration is a line I won't cross. I'm fine with climate change. You don't gotta believe this shit is burning. Fine. just know when the apocalypse comes, I'm not it. Anti-vaxxers. I don't.
I can't talk to you because I just feel like you don't know. I don't know. I don't know, actually. Never mind.
I'd let it go. I'm not planning on having kids with you. And if you're not vaccinated, I'm already vaccinated.
Right.
And my child's already vaccinated.
Right.
And I'm not planning on having any more kids.
Right.
So your thoughts on that, though, are your thoughts on that, though, ignorant or without, disturbing, really doesn't have an effect on how my future goes.
Yeah.
You know, so, all right. Think that.
It concerns me, and this is specifically on the anti-vaxxing point, and then I have like more to say about this in general. Mm-hmm. It concerns me because I feel like an anti-vaxxer is also into some other conspiracy theory realms that I don't personally want to get in with you. Mm-hmm. But, oh God, I just feel so ashamed of myself. But you have to name your shame.
Yeah.
I've learned recently you have to name your shame. So like back in the day, I used to like really like someone for no fucking reason because he was horrible to me, who believed that like 9/11 was a full ass conspiracy theory. And while I have read and do think that this could very well be the case, that like there were like reports coming in that this was something that was going to happen and the US government ignored it. Mm-hmm. I don't think that like the whole thing was staged. And I was just like in the car listening to him like,
wait, staged as if, because there are people who think it's staged as in it didn't happen. And I'm just like,
to me that's what he was saying.
But the people.
I don't know. Right. Yeah, that's really fucked up. That's like the Sandy Hook stage thing. Yeah. That's like the Holocaust stage thing.
Like, or stage as in the U.S. had a hand in it.
Okay. At the time, this also might have been before I knew that they were ignoring reports. Mm-hmm. And also, whenever I was with him, I was drunk as fuck.
Okay.
So I don't know what he was talking about, but I was just like, damn, son, I'm really in the car about to go have sex with this 9/11 conspiracy theorist. And then like a part of me, like after that whole thing was done, I was like, never again am I going to be disrespecting this way. Never again am I going to fucking like chase a man or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And a part of that was like, never again am I going to like let a 9/11 conspiracy theorist go along with their bullshit. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, 2 weeks ago, though, I meet this motherfucker on Hinge. Other red flags in regards to this too. When we start talking about conspiracy theory, and he's also a 9/11 conspiracy, and it's just like, what is it about me? Right? Like, why am I attracting this to this world? And he told me something, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna read up on it later. I didn't read up on it though.
Of course, no.
I don't know. And like, he ghosted me, which is just like, damn. Like,
I got ghosted by.
Why is my life like this?
That hurts in a different way.
Like, Akua, there are other things about that man too that I just should not have been.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and I was like, you know, sometimes there's just like chemistry there in other ways.
Yes.
Like, you don't be believing what these motherfuckers are saying, and they don't be believing what you're saying, but there's something else there. And I'm like, okay, I think we could have fun together.
We could just skirt around those things.
Just like, don't say that to me.
No, how often do we have to talk about 9/11? Not that often.
We
so.
Don't. It come around once a year, and that's it.
That's it.
And it's probably not going to last that long. And then it lasted 7 days after that. So that is, I think it's like if it was like an ugly nigga, mm-hmm, who I had no interest with, and he's like, oh, you know, 9/11 wasn't real. I'm like, no, that's a hard no. So it's like,
we're giving and we're taking.
Right. Yes. Then there's niggas who, a part of me feels this kind of like social responsibility in some aspects and not some aspects.
Mm-hmm.
So one time I was talking to this motherfucker and I was just like ready to be off of it. He said something and it was transphobic and I was like, that's transphobic. Mm-hmm. Stop talking to me. And then he was like, I'm just ignorant. I don't know. And then I was like, damn, he's saying shit about trans women. I'm a cis woman. This is like the time where I have to fucking step up.
I have to speak.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I just like did.
Yeah.
Like I just educated him. Should I have done that?
You know, is that labor you feel like you should have taken on?
He wasn't my man.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ghosted me too. What the fuck?
But ghosting's guaranteed. They don't know how to do anything else. But in that, you know, in that moment, if that was labor that you could have done and you did, it was needed because this is going to be a cis man that's going to encounter other women, you know?
Right.
So
Okay, but then where does it go?
And also, it wasn't as if it was labor that... Like, he seemed willing to learn.
He did. So, like, the fact that he said that,
he
was
came
like,
back. Yeah, he came back with that. So it was like, all right, it wasn't like you just took it upon yourself to then throw all this out, which you could have done if you chose to. But, you know, he seemed like he wanted to be receptive. He wanted to change or to learn, or at least was able to name his ignorance and that blind spot. So,
mm-hmm. Okay, that brings me to another point of, like, how far do you let these niggas name their ignorance, right? Like, I don't really talk to men much anymore. Mm-hmm. Thank God. But there was, like, times in the past where, like, male friends would be like, yeah, I know it's wrong, but that's, like, that's my ignorance or whatever. So with the 9/11 conspiracy theorists, he also was saying things that, like, were... in the homophobic realm. Mm-hmm. It wasn't outright homophobia, but it was like, come on, nigga.
You homophobia
know,
nonetheless.
You know better than that, nigga. And he was like, I didn't even say you know better than that. He was like saying something and he was like, I know better than this, but like this is like how I was raised in this machismo way. Mm-hmm. And I know it's wrong, but it's still like, this is still how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay. And then he was like, you're gonna stop talking to me now? And I thought about it, and then I was like, no, in my head, because I want to have a good time with you. And I was like, got it. Don't say that to me. Mm-hmm. Don't talk to me about this. And then something else happened where, like in the same vein of what we were talking about, like, he, like, sent me something that was, like, in that same vein. And I was like, this is why this is wrong. But I don't care about what you have to say about it because we've already established the fact that you're like playing in homophobia. Mm-hmm. So stop talking to me about it. Mm-hmm. And he just stopped.
Just stopped talking to you?
He just stopped talking to me about that. Like he didn't even respond to what I said.
Okay.
He just started talking about something else. Mm-hmm. And then 4 days later, he ghosted me. So okay. Maybe he just like the homophobia was like raging up.
He was like, I can't. I
gotta make fun of gay niggas.
She can't tell me what to talk about.
Yeah, I don't fucking know.
What in that case, when you know you're ignorant and you're still standing in it, I feel like you'll hit that impasse because he's like, oh, I know what's wrong, but this is still how I feel. So you agree with it. Mm-hmm. You know that other people have differing viewpoints, but you agree with it because that's how you feel about it.
Right. And you're not really doing any work to change
it. To unpack that, to change it, to unlearn. You're just like, I know there's another way, but I'm going to feel this way because that's how I grew up.
Right.
No, you don't want to do the work.
Yeah. And I wouldn't, like, enter into a relationship with someone like that because I would be, like, mad labor for the rest of my life. Or something. Yes. For the rest of the relationship, something mm-hmm. like that. And that's, like, not something I ever want to do ever again. Like, I've done that in the past. Mm-hmm. And, like, I am... I'm happy with the results of that because what a shining star that boy yes. is now. He's a great person. And I feel like it helped him like mm-hmm. Deal with whatever internalized things that he had. And he's like a more expressive and emotionally connective and just like free and better person. But like, I am never doing that ever again unless it's like my child.
Yes.
My actual child. So I wouldn't like pursue anything serious with anybody who like you can't be walking down the street and be like, hey, F word or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like you can't be that indignant in like your oppressive beliefs. But if it's like floating in the wayside and I do like you, I think unfortunately I'm going to put that aside, which sucks. But otherwise I'm never going to go out with anyone.
Well, yes. And you're right. Other than that, you won't ever go out with anyone. And I think that I'm in a space where I can point out that's wrong. Mm-hmm. And leave you to do the work about that.
Right, which is what I do, yes.
If you
say, don't talk to me about this.
Yes. And if you come back with that same stuff, I know that...
Then you're trying to antagonize me. I already said, leave me alone.
And well, in the case of leave me alone, but if I point out that it's wrong and leave you to do the work and you come back...
And haven't done the work...
This is a relationship that's going to require the labor that I'm not about to give.
Okay, you're talking about relationship-wise.
Or no, like, well, anything's a relationship. You and I aren't in a relationship. Like, yes. This is a okay, connection. This is something we're fostering that is going to require labor that I'm not going to give.
I see.
So we got to cut it here.
This all makes me feel bad.
Oh, no.
Whatever.
The state of the world.
How important are a person's politics when you're dating or beginning a relationship? Do you refuse to date outside of your own political party or identity? Or are you rolling your eyes at all of this?
We kind of just answered that.
Yeah,
like,
I think that was the answer.
Sometimes it's that give and take. You have to see where the hard line is for you.
Yeah.
But like it in terms of like political party, I'm not dating nobody Republican.
That would just be weird. I would never do that.
I don't know why how.
Yeah, I would never do that. I also used to like never want to date outside of my race. Mm-hmm. Because I like saying nigga a lot. That was really the only reason. I mean, there were obviously other reasons, but that was a big factor to me. That was a big factor. And then I was on this date with this Latinx nigga. I don't really know what his race is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he identifies as. I could see him being black, but I don't know if that's the case or not. He has fucking like Gina Rodriguez parents or something like that. Like, I don't know. So I was like in my bag talking about something. And then obviously I was about to say nigga because I say it very often if you listen to the show. And then I said, and then I just said guy. And I was like, oh shit, I have silenced myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's something that I've put aside, which is weird for me. We'll see what path that takes me down. Seems like a dark one though, man. Seems like a dark path. It's my favorite word. Okay. So thank you for doing that with me, Akua.
Thank you.
We would also like you listeners to write or voice in your responses. Mm-hmm. Also include your age because I want to see if there's anything to this like millennials are like less steadfast and mm-hmm. Gen Z are like very steadfast. And like, where do Gen Xers play into this? Where mm-hmm. do like baby boomers play into this? I know y'all listen to the show as well. So let's just hear about how you navigate politics in regards to your sex, love, and dating lives. Yeah, that's that for that segment.
Okay. That was so interesting.
Yeah. It didn't leave me feeling good.
Well, because there are...
I just feel bad.
There aren't any answers, and it's like, not everything is a case-by-case. Everything is a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
And sometimes you come across things that you can look away from, and sometimes you don't, you mm-hmm. know? And we're taught to live in this black and white world where we're just like, I have to say no to this all the time. And it's like... It's like, no, the truth is we are in so much gray.
Yeah.
But that feels uncomfortable.
It does feel uncomfortable. Yes.
Kind of makes you, sometimes it can make you feel hypocritical. Like,
yeah. How do you call yourself a queer black feminist? And then you're just like, because that nigga is not even black. That fucking 9/11 conspiracy theorist.
I was going
to
say, if you call yourself a queer black feminist and date a white man, like.
Exactly. He wasn't white, though.
No, I know. Oh, I know.
I'm not doing that shit today.
Samantha's not that far gone, y'all. We would have reeled her back in. Like, Sam, are you okay? What is happening?
We need an intervention at that point.
But, you know, or to just be a black woman dating a white man, you know?
There's
so much give and take in that. Like,
Yeah. And then to get ghosted at the end of it, jeez, my pride.
Yeah, that's really
it's my ego, actually. Me? Anyway, okay. Okay, now we're going to get into our next segment, which is called
Fuck Me.
The segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives, if you haven't heard enough about that yet, because, all my tea. Do you have anything before I begin?
Smith, you know damn well.
I always ask you, though.
And I'm very grateful that you asked, you know, but no, I don't have anything this
okay,
week.
Okay, okay. So, if you've been listening for the past couple episodes, you already know what time it is. It is the How Samantha Got Her Groove Back Challenge. I'm glad that this has lasted 4 weeks, because I'd be giving up on stuff. I'm really proud of myself. If you don't know what the segment is, it is a segment in which I will go on one date every week and report back to you how it is. Last season, I gave you cute date ideas. This season, you give me some. Control where I go on these dates. Let's get my groove back together. On this past week's date, I saw Bad Boys 3.
Okay.
And I want to say just about the film, it's very funny. Is a lot better than I expected. I would say go see it if you're a fan of Bad Boys 1 and 2. The lead antagonist is a beautiful, beautiful man. Mm. I just like looking at him. Cute little booty. In regards to the date itself, I hope it's a date. I don't know, because then I sound silly if this person is listening to this. But he asked me to go see Bad Boys. Like, I had it in my story like 2 months ago, and he was like, "We out?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure."
Yeah.
I thought he was joking. And then like a couple of weeks ago, he was like, "Yeah, so on the 24th, Bad Boys 3. And I was like, "Oh, okay." Oh,
okay.
I thought you just wanted to have sex with
Wait
me.
Wait a minute.
You were following up. And I was like, "Yeah, we are on." We met up, saw the movie, had a little chat before the movie and after the movie. And I will say it's nice to see people grow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's nice to see anybody grow. I guess that's why I like watching TV and movies and documentaries and things like that. It's just like nice to see the progression of a human being. But yeah, he was like telling me about like his life plans and like what he doesn't do in his life anymore. Like, he used to like complain about like his manager a lot, and now he's like, "I'm like approaching it with a different mindset. Like, the manager is still like fucking up and trash, but like, I'm not getting so mad at it anymore." And like, to like be present before work, I'll go to the gym before work, and like for the next couple of months I'm not smoking or drinking to like reset. And I'm just like, look at you doing things. So that was really nice. It was cool to see that this human being has like matured, and yeah, it was cool. It was really fun. That's all I have to say about that.
Okay.
Yeah, I also got burritos yesterday.
Ooh, a burrito.
Yes, at this place called Fat Boys. We were supposed to do something entirely different. Supposed to go to a mixology class, but it was canceled because the bartender was in the hospital.
Okay.
Yeah, it was not okay. So we got burritos instead, and the burritos were very good. And that's always a great time that human being.
Yes.
And with the burritos. So that was my little back-to-back. The interesting thing about this whole challenge has been, like, before... Like, at this point, like, on the weekend before the next coming week, I'd already have a plan of what my next date was, but now I have nothing.
Oh.
And so, I have no prospects.
So next week?
So I don't know what the fuck is it. I might just have to call on one of y'all.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm going to have to think of something.
Yeah. Because I just, all my hoes. I have no more hoes. I have no ideas. I have nothing. I have nothing. I have no events. I'm scared. Going out there naked. So if you hear this on Wednesday, I might still have nothing.
Yeah, we might still need an idea. Throw something at us.
Give me something. Give me something. Yeah. It was like that bachata thing that somebody suggested last week, but I just feel like the person that I wanted to do that with, I feel like they get the vibe that I do not like them romantically.
Mm.
And that's okay that they understand that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to just be like, "Hey, I have the show that I host." You want to do something with me?
You don't want to manipulate them into continuing.
Exactly. So if they're like in the point where they're like, "Let me just ghost this bitch," then I just like, I want to go quietly into that dark night. I don't want to be an asshole about it. But shout out to you, man. We had some good times.
This whole episode makes me feel like shit, Akua.
No. God. Okay, let's go on to the next segment. Okay, our next segment is called
Fuck You.
And this is the segment about your romantic, sexual, and dating lives. If you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, please send your thoughts to iitupodcast@gmail.com and include your pronouns. Also, because we are in the future, you can leave us a voicemail. We'll play it and respond to it on the show, so drop us a line at 404-491-9158.
Eight. Spirit fingers and everything.
Yes. This episode makes me feel uncomfortable because I feel like I'm being extremely transparent in a way that I haven't been transparent in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm used to being very transparent in regards to physicality. Like, "Oh yeah, cucumber in my vagina." But that doesn't really mean anything about me. But now I'm like exposing flaws. And that makes me feel uncomfortable. Yes.
But that is how the growth continues.
In what direction am I growing? How am I trying to grow?
Well, I don't know. I can't tell you how you're trying to grow.
Okay.
But in exposing yourself this way and kind of really just, like you said, naming your shame, like just putting it in the mirror, you don't hide behind it, or you don't hide behind like false conceptions of yourself. You're reminding yourself that you are human and there is nuance.
Damn. I thought I was a cyborg this whole time.
you know, we are all flawed, and sometimes it's really hard to come face to face with our flaws, or even if you've come face to face with it, but to then expose it to others, or to be real.
To these thousands of niggas.
To be real, real. But, you know, you doing that helps yourself, but also helps other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we it's not just you in this dating pool with this one experience.
Right.
We're all going through and feeling like this. And I feel like it's a part of why I took myself out of the dating realm, because I couldn't handle it. I was like, oh, this is too much. It's too much.
Yeah.
You know, like managing the expectation that I can name all of my identities and political views and then try to find someone that matches it, knowing they don't exist. And then how do I feel about this give and take? You know, mm-hmm. all of that. I was like, well, we're going to sit down.
I'm going to sit this one out for a bit
and see what comes up later.
Yeah.
Really in the hopes that what comes up later is a person that perfectly matches all of these identities.
I don't know, man.
Which is so unrealistic.
Yeah.
That it's like, all right, sis, are we going to sit this out forever, or we going to get back in there and do this give and take and see what it is? And a part of it comes with the fear of judgment, you know? Like, yes, if I have my heart out, there can still be something that I've, you know, just turned an eye to. And then I bring them around all of my feminist, womanist ass friends.
Oh, no. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
You know, I thought it was a minor slight. And they're like, bitch, the fuck are you doing? Like, yo.
He just comes in and oppresses us. Like, we are enslaved by this person. Like, damn, cool. I didn't know he was saying like
that. What is that? You know, like, what can I give and take that will be acceptable for me, but also acceptable for my community around me? Like,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot. It's a lot. And there ain't no answers, and it don't look no better, which is the saddening part. It don't look like it's going to get any better.
Mm.
It's just like, oh, it's not okay.
Humph. Thank you for exploring that with me. Okay.
I'm going to read this. Now on to... Yes. Fuck you.
Yes, on to the actual fuck you. I'll read it. Okay, so this is entitled Best Friend Problems. It is from Anonymous. Her pronouns are she and her. Backstory, I am an Afro-Latina woman who has also suffered from mild depression and anxiety. I do go to therapy once in a while when I feel the need to speak to someone on a professional side. However, normally I would talk to my support team, and that helps. I recently had a baby in October of 2019. So here is the problem. During my pregnancy, I felt like a lot of people disowned me, as in not hanging out because I didn't smoke weed anymore and not inviting me to places because I couldn't drink. I mainly felt this way about my best friend. I felt she disowned me. There was even a point where she ghosted me for a month or two and said she was quote unquote trying to figure things out. She said that she had got a new job and such. I kindly replied with, okay, glad it worked out. I later found out she never got a new job and was at the same one. I could really be lying out here. I didn't say anything because I was mainly focused on my pregnancy. I have had many miscarriages and wanted to keep my stress as low as possible. The next time she hit me was to tell me about a problem she was having with her boyfriend. Then she hit me up to tell me she was pregnant. Ever since her and the father of her baby have moved in together, I haven't seen her. She sends me videos and such, but whenever I text her, I get no reply. Whenever I ask to hang out, no reply or late reply, like days later, but she is on social media. I have even had a few breakdowns and attempted to get a hold of her and nothing. I can see she is healthy and that she isn't being trapped as her social shows her out and about. I want to say something, but with her suffering from depression worse than mine, I don't want to upset her while pregnant. And also, I'm like, will it even matter? My boyfriend says I'm just starting to notice her pattern, as she only needs me when she is upset or as he says, lonely, but I just don't like to think I'm being used. Any advice on what I should do? Should I leave the situation alone and move on, or should I say something? Side note, we've been friends off and on since 13. I'm now 26. We were off from going to different high schools and from her not approving of trash ass men I've dated in the past. Thank you for your help, Anonymous.
Hey, Anonymous.
Hey.
Thank you for writing in and congratulations on your rainbow baby. You know, infertility and things can be hard.
Yes.
So, you know, great job in taking care of yourself and minimizing your stress and doing whatever you needed to do while you were producing another human.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that really stuck out to me, one of the things that stuck out to me, mm-hmm. was the use of the word disowned and discussing the changes in your relationship when having a child.
Mm.
And this is something that I've seen a lot on Facebook as people of my generation are now having children, are noticing the changes in their friendships or their relationships with others, mm-hmm. after having a child, because mm-hmm. your priorities and your activities and your availabilities,
everything changes. Yeah.
And some people can't do that change with you. Mm-hmm. They're not in that place in their life where they do that change with you,
mm-hmm.
or want to.
Yeah.
Maybe they just all want to smoke and drink and yeah. you ain't doing it. So yeah. you got, you know, that's it for you. The friendship is clipped. But to use the word disowned is so harsh.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thought process of, no, these things have changed, or I've outgrew them, or they've outgrew me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm being rejected. I'm being intentionally cut off.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it rang to me. And that might not be the case.
Right.
These things, literally, as you enter other phases of your life, you leave people behind.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't come with you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's okay.
And
also,
that's okay.
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily mean like they hate you or you hate them.
Yeah. Or that they didn't value your friendship, or mm-hmm. that you didn't mean anything to them.
Mm-hmm.
We really sometimes just enter other stages of our lives without some people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with this specific friendship,
the best friend,
this was a bit triggering for me.
Oh, cool.
This was a bit triggering for
me. Sorry.
Some things I need to think about. With the dynamic of this friendship, sounds like we're holding on to it.
Because it's lasted for so long?
Yes. It's one of those, we've been friends for so long, we should still be able to be friends for so long. And it doesn't sound like, from your narrative, it doesn't sound like your friend is putting in the effort to maintain this friendship.
Yeah, not at all, actually.
Not at all. Like, to be friends this long and not be able to communicate if she was feeling burnt out in this friendship, to have a friend of a decade and plus ghost you?
Yeah, for 2 months. What? That's kind of unheard of.
A best friend at that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
that's a pretty big red flag.
Yeah, that sounds like they are not trying to maintain this friendship with you. I cannot imagine just leaving some man.
No. I would be like, what the fuck is going on with you?
I am tired of this bitch. Like, and to actively lie about why, and they're not putting in the things that they need to maintain this friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And more than likely it's because they don't see this friendship as valuable anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is okay. It hurts. But I think the faster you understand that, the faster you can come to terms with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the faster you can also cut ties. Because what's the point of putting energy into like a dying thing or a dead thing, actually?
So it's this metaphor about holding onto a rope and getting rope burn, mm. where you can just release mm. and be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying so hard to hold on to something that you end up hurting yourself,
mm-hmm.
than letting it go and healing from what you've lost.
Yes. Good point.
Another thing is that we don't know what your friend is going through. Social media is a liar. I could be out and about looking great and be in the worst mental state of my life.
That is true.
You know, we can't say she's healthy because she's out and about. We can't mm-hmm. say she's not trapped. We can't say that she's not going through something that she can't communicate, mm-hmm. because it looks like she's
having
not.
A good time, yeah.
We don't know what it is, but as an adult, she can at least communicate hey, I'm having a hard time right now. Right. Like, don't have to go into the details or unpack it with you, but be like, yo, I'm being distant or I need space. I'm going through something hard right now.
Yeah, yeah.
The bare minimum of communication.
Yeah, yeah.
And if she can't do that, is it worth it? The cornerstone of all relationships, friendships, family, romantic, is communication. Mm-hmm. And if you, after 13 years, how old are you? 13, 26, 13 years of friendship.
Yeah. There's not really much for you to hang on to, honestly. And I don't know what else you could do. I wouldn't advise you doing anything else because it's like very clear, like the signs are here. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't even know if you did try, what would you do? Like, you're going to like knock down her door and be like, bitch,
talk to me.
Like, and then you can't make anybody do anything.
You know, I'm usually all for like one last hurrah of communication. But if you know that she may not be mentally, you know, stable and she's pregnant, which fucks us up all over the place, you know, seeing what it is and just letting it go. Mm-hmm. And if she finds that, because she'll notice the distance too.
Right.
And if she finds it, this relationship to be valuable, she'll try to reconnect.
That is absolutely true.
So, you know, just kind of seeing what it is and just letting it be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wanted to quickly touch on the first thing. I know this is not a question that you asked, so maybe this is like not worth going into. But I go to therapy once in a while, but I feel like my support team helps. How do you feel about that as a therapist and a human being who lives in the world?
I read that. I was like, what is therapy once in a while?
Yeah, I didn't understand that. Like, hey, sis.
Like, I'm checking in. Months, like, or like, have you had like bouts and then you've taken breaks because you thought you no longer needed it?
That's more so what I thought.
It literally sounded like once a month or once every 6 months she popped in the office. Hey, girl.
She just keeps using BetterHelp free trials over and over again under different email addresses.
And if that's the case, like, I don't know what time to time means, maybe a more longer stretch of time with a therapist. You know, therapy doesn't have to be when things are going wrong.
That is so
therapy
true.
can be used to maintain,
yeah,
when things have gone wrong, or mm-hmm. you know, just maintain. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be, it can be a preventative action. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be we're addressing this issue now because right. a crisis, it doesn't have to be crisis intervention. It yes. can be preventative.
Yes.
I don't hear anything in this of what your support team is. It sounds like you've lost everyone.
Yeah. So I was like, there is no.
so who is helping?
Right. Besides your boyfriend, I'm assuming.
Besides your boyfriend.
We would hope so, anyway.
Yes. And besides this best friend that is now ghosting us.
Right.
Who, you know, who else is helping? And if all of this is happening in tandem and losing these people due to pregnancy and changes in lifestyle, and now you're losing a really good or a really significant mm-hmm. structure in your support system as his best friend, mm-hmm. I can understand how it can be hard mm-hmm. to, you know, how it can be easy to look past these red flags and keep trying because it feels like all the dominoes are falling around you.
Right.
And if that's the case, going back into therapy can help process this mm-hmm. and can help process this and help you re-identify what your new support system can look like.
Yeah,
who do you have and how we can rebuild from that.
Right. Good advice.
I remember, and I think I chalk this up to like just the developmental time in my life, because I didn't have a child as a formative adult mm-hmm. at a child as an adolescent mm-hmm. where your friendships are ebbing and flowing anyway.
Yeah,
niggas
yeah.
you knew last year are not your niggas now.
Yeah.
I went through like 6 different friend groups in high school before I found the one I got now.
Go team.
But I remember, you know, having a baby and seeing my friend groups change. We weren't about the same things.
Yeah,
my ideas, my goals, my perspective changed on a lot, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. And that was difficult. But I also had a lot more significant, difficult things going on. So I didn't pay it much attention. It was just like,
look. Those niggas? Okay.
All right. Yeah. But I can acknowledge that it was difficult to see that and to see that shift and thinking, yo, these was my niggas. And now we don't talk.
Yeah.
Wow. They didn't come visit me after I've had this baby.
Mm.
They've been here once. Mm. My baby's 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I can't call on them if I need diapers or a ride or anything. You know, like to see that. it shakes you up a bit. It does. Yeah, when you're this age, when you're big, because at
in our short lives,
at 17, at 18, I also knew that I would pick up new friends, you know, that life will come across where I would make new friends.
Yeah.
I was always told by my family, who hated my my friend groups, that these weren't, you know, friends I'd have forever. You know,
families love to say that, especially moms. That's not your friend. They be right though.
Yeah, they be right. So like I knew that there was more, but when we're in our mid 20s, our early 30s, and making new connections is hard.
Yeah.
You know, that can feel a lot more daunting.
Yeah, scary.
I don't make new friends like that. I've been at my job for 2.5 years and just made a friend out of a coworker 6 months ago. I ain't talked to nobody at work for 2 years.
You definitely like friendship in the late 20s becomes work.
It becomes
in the same way that a relationship is work, a romantic relationship.
Yes.
All relationships are work. They don't stumble upon relationships
because
anymore.
You in the same class, exactly. So you know, at the same supermarket. Like take effort and labor and intention.
Intention. So,
I can understand why, I can appreciate why that is daunting to, you know, to be losing people and then have to figure out, where I'm going to get new people from, especially with the lack of availability that comes with having another a child. It's like, I can't make friends. I'm not going to the bars. I'm not doing all these adult social things to make new connections. Right. It limits your resources and your opportunities to do so.
Right. Inner Hub Rising on Slack. There's a lot of good people there. Shameless plug on places where you can make new friends. But also, like, there are communities around things like books and shows and podcasts that
or
I find.
Or parenting.
Parenting, yeah. I didn't want to go into that one because it felt like the obvious one. And I don't know if people feel like, well, I don't want to just be friends with my kids' friends or anything like that.
I mean, sometimes I wish I did have mom friends.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a support and understanding that comes in that, you know, because being a new parent is scary. We don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, winging shit. You know, and to be in a community of people who also don't know what they're doing, winging shit. Oops. Yeah,
that is true. I guess it's not much different from, it is different, but like, oh, we're friends in school because we're both going through school. Mm-hmm. We're friends at work because we're both going through this thing at this job. We're friends in parenting because we're both raising kids.
But also, you know, if that's the foot in the door, we get to know people. Mm-hmm. You know, people are more than their identity as parents.
Very true, yes.
Our friends in school were more than the fact that we had fifth grade geography together. We found other interests that held and we connected
it's
with those
the first
as well.
Step. Yeah.
It's just the first step.
True. Who is always reading me on my bullshit?
No!
I'm just full of shit. I'm going to have a breakdown after this episode.
No, that wasn't shit. We're going to take a stop right there at the self-deprecation. That's what we're going
to
stop this
I
right here.
I need to clear it. I need to like burn something after
you
this.
You are an insightful human being.
Thank you.
Who explores all the angles of the nuance.
Thank you.
And you question things. And that was a question. It was like, do we tell her to do the easiest thing? And I said, sometimes the easiest thing is what we can do, but you're right.
Yes.
There are other ways. There are, because new parents also get sucked into their identities as new parents.
Mm-hmm.
You become Jaden's mom for like the next 5 years. It's in all our bios. It's on the bumper sticker of our car. We don't know how to do nothing else. Every picture is Jaden's parents. Jaden's mom. No.
I just love the fact that you made it Jaden, even though you have a whole child whose name is.
Yeah, well, Jaden comment. But I did that too. Oh, child, when I go back through the Facebooks, I'm like, jeez.
I didn't realize you were doing that.
Nobody, because it's kind of expected for mothers to do that.
Yeah.
To consume themselves.
These niggas don't be out here talking about Jaden's dad.
No, they don't.
you find out they have a kid on the line.
And when they are, we give them cookies for that shit. It's expected.
Such a good father.
It's expected for mothers to just detach, to shed their own identity and become
motherhood
this mother.
Is your only identity. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I see it now. Because you also grow out of it as your kids become more independent. So Dave's 10 now. I'm not his mom. I don't know that boy. So when they start to grow and get their independence and become their own identity, we start to detach and kind of or hopefully find our own identities again, or else that leads to like early empty nest syndrome. But so now I can see that and look at it like, ooh, that was a little unhealthy. But in it, I was his mama, and that's all I ever was. What you mean? But yes, so yes, you were able to question that and be like, no, she has other identities besides her parents.
Okay.
And I'm like, no, that's the easiest one to get into.
Okay. Thank you.
You also highlighted something about addressing one-sided friendships. Oh, no. Well, yeah, we did. We kind of touched on that.
Yeah. Oh, navigating friendships while you're both suffering from depression. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
I don't know what your friendship has, looked like outside of this, outside of what you're presenting us, mm-hmm. and what that 13 years, that decade has looked like. Mm-hmm. You know, is this a pattern of her being in a depressive state where mm-hmm. she kind of detaches and you kind of suck in? Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned that her depression is more significant or more apparent than yours, mm-hmm. And that's objective, mm-hmm. or subjective.
Yeah.
But you know, is this something you've noticed before in your friendship outside of her stopping to talk, ending your friendship because she didn't approve of the men you dated, and of physical barriers and being in other high schools? Like, once you reconnected and we're on this friendship road, have you noticed these ebbs and flows or in and outs, you know, that mimic her cycles of depression or your cycles of depression, mm-hmm. you know? And could that be it as well? I don't know. I don't have that history to trace back with you, but a therapist could.
Mm. There you go.
Therapist could.
There you go. Your therapist.
Yes.
Not Akua the therapist.
No.
Not money the therapist. Mm-mm. Not Joy, the therapist.
No,
shout
yours.
Out to all the Black girl therapist podcasters, but your therapist,
who might also be a podcaster.
Who? Put us on if she is.
Yeah, but your therapist can help you really track that and see what the patterns are and help you to learn and to cope and to do things differently or really open your eyes. It sucks when friendships end.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. There's like a grieving process.
Yes.
But life do be like that, though.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And it really takes these life events, these significant life events, quote unquote,
to really shake things up. Yeah.
Like to consider that she also is going through the significant life event that y'all could have shared and you're not even a part of it. I cannot
imagine.
Yeah,
she could have been your mom friend, actually.
Yeah, I cannot imagine one of my friends getting pregnant and
never hear from me again,
you know, or even using that as a way to reconnect. It's like, all right, we may have separated, but I'm going through this and you just went through this and we can connect and bond through this, mm-hmm. and you already have the history of liking other parts of them,
mm-hmm.
but no, it sounds like she done,
yeah,
and she don't know how to say it or don't want to say it or mm-hmm. doesn't feel the need to say it,
right,
but you now have to be done,
accept it and move on, and you'll feel so much better. Okay, I hope that helped, Akua.
Yes,
you're so smart. I love it.
I'll be trying.
I was like, this is an Akua question. So we'll save it till the next week, and you came through.
You definitely helped.
Thank you.
I read these and I was like, yes, Samantha.
I'll be trying. If you want to follow up with us about how things have gone, we would love to continue to hear this story. Thank you for mm-hmm. writing into us.
Yes.
Also, thank you for like writing in. It wasn't like sex, love, and or dating. It was like, I guess pregnancy is like the in,
mm-hmm.
but I still really appreciated you being transparent with us.
Yes.
Allowing us to help you work through that. I hope it helps.
Yeah.
Just the worst advice ever.
Well.
We're the best of friends now.
Well, tell us how that happened.
Yeah, exactly. Because clearly,
we can give it to someone else.
Yeah, we need some alternate perspectives. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, that's me,
yes.
or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher and let everyone you know that you love these hosts. We appreciate you all.
We do. Love y'all.
Yes.
If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter. at Inaho Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can follow, you can join our Facebook community, Inaho Uprising community.
On Facebook, yes.
On Facebook. You can go to Inaho Uprising to pay a hoe, buy out the last of this merch.
And you can sign up for our newsletter on innerhouseuprising.com. And it's a good newsletter and it's fun. And you get stuff that doesn't make it to the show. You get stuff that's early, like stuff that I talk about before the show even comes out, like 2 weeks before the show even comes out. You play our little sex trivia contest that we have in there. And there'll be other fun things in the newsletter too. So you can just go to innerhouseuprising.com and scroll down and sign up for that.
And you can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram and Twitter.
And you could follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter and Carmen San Diego on Instagram for travel and food photos.
Bye. Bye.